Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, a few years ago, Pope Francis famously likened the church to a field hospital. It was a way of describing the role of the church in today's battlefields, either literal or metaphorical. It's kind of captured people's imaginations. He said, "The thing the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity." Well, William Kavanagh, a distinguished theologian from Chicago, took hold of this metaphor and expanded it in his book, Field Hospital, The Church's Engagement with a Wounded World. And he makes some fascinating observations about the church in this role of the field hospital, one of which is that the church needs to come to the battlefields of today, not from a position of superiority, but from a position of solidarity with the people it seeks to help and serve.
That definitely comes through in his writing, the idea that, you know, there is a battle going on. All is not well in the world. And also that the church is at its best when it focuses not on power or the institution, but is responsive to the needs of people in community. Of course, there are all too many cases recently of the church doing just the opposite, defending its own territory and reputation instead of caring for the vulnerable.
Yes, and Professor Kavanagh is certainly not naive about those failures. But he also provides some pretty striking examples of the ways the church and individual Christians have made significant beneficial marks when it comes to meeting the needs of people. He has a particularly high regard for Dorothy Day, not to be confused with Doris Day. Dorothy Day is the journalist and social activist. We'll get to hear a little bit of her story later. Well, I had the great pleasure of interviewing William Kavanagh in the US recently as part of CPX's upcoming documentary about the contribution of Christianity to the West. And we started our conversation looking broadly at the church's contribution to the world and specifically the idea of the church as a conveyor of mercy and charity.
Yes, I think one of the church's most important contributions throughout history has been the idea that you need to care for the other in need as if the other were Christ. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, where Jesus says, "Whenever you did this for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did this to me." And so there's a long history of taking care of the poor and the sick as if they were Christ. So that's an important duty.
Now, the Pope has described the action of the church as a field hospital, attending to the needs of the world. Now, can you describe what the church understands those needs to be? What does the church think the needs of the world are?
The church has always thought that part of what it needs to do is attend to the needs of the world. Pope Francis has called the church a field hospital, in which we need to be out on the battlefields of the world, binding up people's wounds. And by this, of course, he means both spiritual wounds and physical wounds. And throughout most of history, the church has not made a kind of strong distinction between those kinds of care. And so to care for the body is also to care for the soul, and vice versa.
Now, Pope Francis is very popular around the world. Is he bringing something new or just recovering something that's always been essential?
I think Pope Francis is a breath of fresh air, but he's not doing something brand new. I think on matters of doctrine, he doesn't differ very much from, if at all, from his predecessors. But what he does is bring back a spirit of humility and a spirit of charity. His two predecessors were, I think, very concerned with relativism and concerned with clarity, declaring the church's teachings clearly. And I think rather than clarity, Pope Francis is concentrating on charity and thinking that you can't get people to come out of themselves and see a different way of viewing the truth about the world until you warm their hearts and appeal to their sense of what's attractive in life. And so Pope Francis is kind of reminding us that it's that personal contact, especially personal contact with Christ in the form of those who suffer.
When do you think the church has been most effective in that role? Has it been when it's been in a position of power and therefore able to do things, or perhaps when it's been more from the margin?
I think the church has been best at attending to the needs of others when it's not concerned about ruling. There are times, of course, where being in power will help you establish the kinds of institutions of care for people that have become very important in the world. You know, several people have said, Charles Taylor has said, that the modern welfare state is in some ways the heir to the Christian church. But there's an ambivalence there as well, is that the more institutionalized, the more impersonalized care becomes. And so I think the best kind of care that the church has provided for the world has been when it's out of power and it's not worried about ruling, but more worried about being on the ground, taking care of the poor and the vulnerable. In this regard, I think especially of women's religious orders, who have often been excluded from power within the church and often excluded from power outside of the church as well, but have done tremendous work. The story of the church in the United States is really the story of the faithful women, the nuns who have established hospitals and charitable organizations and orphanages and schools, all kind of under the radar of both church and state. I think in some senses what Pope Francis is trying to do is to recapture the sense that you find in the earliest church, where things are very decentralized, for one thing, and he's put a lot of emphasis on decentralization. The Pope in the early centuries was kind of court of last resort rather than CEO of Church Incorporated. And what you had was kind of not very tightly institutionalized, but was more based on small communities of people taking care of each other's needs. And Ivan Illich has this wonderful reading of the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the neighbor, Jesus tells the story in response to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And the Samaritan responds to the wounded Jew. In the Greek, it says kind of as a gut reaction. It comes from his entrails. And that, I think, is the kind of thing that Pope Francis is calling us to. It's not in response to a collection of rules. It's not in response to a kind of institution, but it's a response to the kind of one-on-one, flesh-to-flesh encounter with another person who suffers. And that, I think, is part of what he's trying to get back to.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. If you've just joined us, we're partway through Simon's interview with William Kavanagh about his latest book, which is called Field Hospital: The Church's Engagement with a Wounded World.
Yes, and we've been talking about this concept of the church being at its best when it focuses on and attends to the needs of the people around them, both inside and outside the church. So I asked Professor Kavanagh to provide some examples of this, and he talked about Dorothy Day. Now, if you've not heard of her before, she was a political radical and a bit of a saint, really. In the early part of the 20th century, she'd been living in a bohemian life in Greenwich Village in New York, and then converted to Catholicism in the 1920s, and she became the founder of the Catholic Working Movement, engaging in nonviolent direct action on behalf of the poor and the homeless. She was a pacifist. She was arrested for civil disobedience on several occasions, including in 1973 at the age of 75. She was a bit of a firebrand. Well, here's William Kavanagh talking about the way Dorothy Day treated people.
One of my favorite examples is also one of Pope Francis's examples that he used in his speech to the American Congress when he talked about Dorothy Day, and the way that she simply responded to people's needs and created the Catholic worker community out of a response to people coming to her and looking for a place to stay. And so you have, on the one hand, a very kind of well-developed ideology and set of doctrine about nonviolence and response to people's immediate needs, but then you also have this witness just in terms of treating people on a kind of personal basis. And the nonviolence, the anarchism, if you will, of Dorothy Day and the immediate response to people's material needs are all of a piece, because she thought that we should not put care for others off on a kind of abstract state, but we should care for others on an immediate kind of person-to-person level, and that's precisely why you ought not to shoot them or bomb them either, that you treat them as if they were a person and not some kind of abstract idea.
You may not be familiar with this story of Dorothy Day, but the other example that Professor Kavanagh gave of this hands-on service was one everyone will have heard of. Here he talks about Martin Luther King Jr. and civil rights, using the ideas of the French philosopher René Girard about scapegoating and sacrifice.
I often use Martin Luther King as an example when I teach René Girard and his idea that the way societies create a kind of order is by bringing rival factions together and scapegoating other people, and this is how we kind of keep the lid on things. And what Martin Luther King does is what Girard says Jesus does as well, is that God identifies with the victim of the scapegoating rather than the victimizers. And then it becomes obvious to everyone where the injustice lies, that what passes for order is not really order at all. And I think Martin Luther King did exactly that. He kind of brought bodies out into the streets, and when they got clubbed, it became obvious to see on whose side justice really was. And that, I think, is a kind of enactment of the story of Christ.
I think you would say that even when the church has been doing the work of caring for people, it has also shared in the failures and guilt, or perhaps the sin, that all humans experience. Is that right? And is that an important thing to acknowledge?
Right. I think it's important to acknowledge that when Christians care for each other, they're doing so as very flawed human beings. And that's one thing that I think Pope Francis has tried to emphasize, that in care for others, this is a part of doing mercy for others, but it's also a part of emphasizing our own need for mercy, that we're all in the same kind of position of relying on the grace of others and on the grace of God to overcome our own kind of flaws. And so the idea that Christians should care for others should never be kind of from the point of view of superiority. And it's interesting to note that in Matthew 25 that I referred to before, that parable, Jesus does not identify himself with the good people who do good things for others. He identifies himself with the people that are hungry and thirsty and in prison and naked and sick and so on. And so it really kind of turns our ideas upside down, that Christians aren't this kind of battalion of good people out to do good for others, but we're people that recognizes Christ in our own lives and Christ in the lives of people that may not seem very Christ-like. But there's all this whole kind of mysteriousness of grace in brokenness that I think is really at the heart of the gospel.
This has been Life and Faith from the Center for Public Christianity. I'm Natasha Moore, and you've been listening to Simon's interview with Professor William Kavanagh about this idea of the church as a field hospital.
Yes, and actually, if you're going to be in Sydney on the 21st of July, William Kavanagh will be in town. He's the speaker at Centre for Public Christianity's annual Richard Johnson Lecture. This time, he'll be looking at a different topic, the myth of religious violence. If you're interested in coming along, you can get your tickets now at richardjohnson.com.au. Here's a sneak preview.
Yeah, oftentimes the distinction between religious violence and secular violence is just the distinction between violence that we want to condemn and violence that we want to either ignore or praise. There was an incident a few years ago where at a conference in Dubai, it was after the invasion of Iraq, and there was sectarian violence that erupted in its wake. And a diplomat from the United States said, we're not going to stand by and let people impose their will on Iraq by the use of violence. And a Middle Eastern journalist remarked very ironically, did the United States not use weapons when they invaded Iraq? There's this idea that what they do is violence and what we do is not violence.
It's going to be an excellent lecture, so please join us. Again, the website to learn more and book your tickets is richardjohnson.com.au. Next week, we're talking to John Dixon about his new book, A Doubter's Guide to the Ten Commandments. Join us then.